The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding areas. My name is Jay Koronek, and today is, yes, it is September 7th, so it's our first show in September of 2012, and it's back to school for everybody. Certainly, we've been back to school here at Henry Ford Community College for a couple of weeks now, and a lot of things are starting to happen again in the community. It's a very busy time, not just the kids going back to school, but it seems like all the different activities and programming for all the different organizations. It's back to work for everybody, including our friends at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And although I should say that also a special guest in the studio, as always, is my WHFR News Director, Dennis Reimar. So Dennis is going to say hello now.
So I'm a guest.
Yes.
I've always found that if I have guests in my home, I kind of wait on them. But once they've been there for a little while, they have to take care of themselves. So if I'm still a guest, Jay, can I have some coffee, please?
Yeah, right on the right on the shelf.
He's
there.
Showing me where it is.
I brought in plenty of coffee. It's going to be a long afternoon.
But
our special guest, see, there's a difference, Dennis.
Fair enough.
Sorry, you're special enough in your own way, is Sandy Bolton, who is a volunteer with the Dearborn Animal Shelter, who is kind of like their public relations director, if you will. I know that's a good term, but she helps with getting the word out and all the promotions for their numerous fundraising events and fun events, too. So welcome to the Journal, Sandy.
Thank you, Jay. And hi, Dennis.
Hi.
I'm the special guest.
Yes,
that's
you
me.
Are.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having us here on the new Journal today. It feels kind of exciting. There's a little bit of an energy here going on.
Let me tell you.
I like it. Thank you.
It is so exciting. Let me just describe to our friends, too, first of all, because if they read the Press and Guide and the Times Herald regularly, they may see a good number of special events sponsored by the Dearborn Animal Shelter, or in fact the operating group, the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and that's because you need the money.
Yeah.
I mean, how's fundraising going? How's the animal numbers going over there at the shelter?
Well, so to speak, in terms of campus, our campus is a little overcrowded. Our classrooms are full.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of be in gentle terms.
I know how that is.
We're in particular a little bit upside down with student body, or you could call them cat body perhaps. There's a little bit of an overcrowding situation at the moment. So thank you for asking that question. In fact, right now through next Saturday, the Dearborn Animal Shelter is trying to help remove some of the barriers that people might have about fear of adopting or bringing an animal into their home. Of course, mm-hmm. is always there to help counsel with a good choice, the right fit and everything in your home. But right now, cats 4 months and older are only $5 each to adopt.
Mm.
And that's a remarkable full discount.
But that's still with the shots and
exactly,
the chip and the...
The whole nine yards. Okay. The animal comes sterilized. It has its age-appropriate vaccinations and microchip, as you point out, Jay, and it just comes full of ready to love. So, and dogs right now are half off their standard adoption fees as well. So it's a great time to adopt and bring in a new pet family member into your home.
It's a great way to show the kids of the family responsibility and compassion, you know, care for other creatures. Some kids may not even be growing up showing much compassion for other humans, so maybe compassion can start at the home with that kind of special responsibility. But you have to be old enough. You have to be the right attitude. You have to have enough people around, enough hours to provide that loving care and supervision.
A good study buddy for a college student, I'll tell you what.
There's
always somebody there with you when you're studying late at night. So
can't really bounce ideas necessarily, right?
Yeah, well, because they always just believe you're right. So it doesn't really matter.
That would make one person in my house then, sure.
Absolutely.
I've had several pets over the year, although usually not more than just one or two at a time. But right now I have one cat, and it's more a lap cat than ever before. And I've always wanted a lap cat that at night when I'm reading books, magazines, even watching maybe television out of the corner of my eye, that cat is on my lap for like 3 or 4 hours in a row. And, of course, I had to keep moving it to get some exercise. So we both don't get stiff. But great in cold Michigan winter nights, I'll tell you. Not so much in the summer, but although it's a short-haired cat, so it's not that bad. But there's nothing like having a pet, even with the added responsibilities. And, of course, cats and dogs are... they have various and very positive ways to communicate their feelings and their needs, and so it does become a significant relationship of trying to understand and provide what's needed back and forth, and it's just a wonderful thing. So we highly recommend it. There isn't a better shelter organization in the area in Dearborn than the Dearborn Animal Shelter on Greenfield Road, under the bridge, just down by the Dearborn DPW lot, and it's not hard to find. Just keep going south on Greenfield and sort of up the hill right after you go under I-94.
You know, Jay, you talked about the fundraising earlier, and you said that you're overcrowded. Those prices, even when you charge the regular amount, whatever that is for the animals, it's still not what you would call a profit.
Oh, no.
So you rely heavily on these fundraisers, correct?
Yeah, Dennis, thank you. And, of course, you know, you're acutely aware of that here running as a nonprofit for WHFR. Yeah.
We have our benefits regularly. Yes.
Sure. That in the instance of the Dearborn Animal Shelter having adoption fees, that it's really just simply a small fee that helps them offset the cost that they actually incur. It's really a fraction of what the investment actually is in the care of the animal up to the point of adoption, including all of the medical care and having the animal sterilized, vaccinated, microchip. That's a $400 or $500 proposition for most people, and so the very most expensive adoption fee the shelter has is $230 for a puppy or a little lap dog, and it is really a tremendous bargain for somebody doing the adopting because the pet is truly ready to go. So it's a great point. Thank you. It relies heavily on fundraising, the shelter does, to maintain its operations successfully.
And the specific one that's coming up is a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Well, I like it because food's involved.
After my own heart.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's talk about eating, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe this is the counterpoint to the Hogs for Dogs.
Indeed.
It probably came
point,
about
counterpoint.
After that. They actually had, and we mentioned here on the show, a benefit to raise money, and it's sort of expected that people would ride their motorcycles into the event. It was at Kernan Steakhouse a couple weeks ago, and yes, you had hot dogs you could eat. I don't think was anybody any porks used there,
no,
but okay.
I don't think they did.
The
Hogs
feeding,
was the tongue in cheek for the Harley expression.
They weren't feeding pork to the dogs. No, but
hot dogs and hamburgers. Yeah.
But you know, that always a lot of good fun. It's an excuse to ride your motorcycle somewhere.
Sure
I think.
It was. Yeah.
And
it was a good night.
If you really get into respecting and loving animals, then maybe you make the connection as I've done. I did many years ago. That eating meat, a lot of meat, or even, you know, every day or at all, is actually hurting animals in general. That there's other spirits that are in the cosmic sense, equal to ours, that are being ended. It's true, we have to survive somehow, but we can survive on pretty much vegetarian cuisine. But at least those are wonderful choices. And in fact, even in terms of cost of meat and the diets these days, eating less meat than what was traditional, sure, say 20 or 30 years ago, is a great idea. And maybe you just want to see how delicious some of these chefs who are going to be preparing food at the No Beast Feast, and this is going to be a week from today.
Yes.
It is September 14th. It's going to be at Park Place. Everybody knows that catering banquet facility on Park Street in West Dearborn, just two blocks south of Michigan Avenue, west side of Otter Drive. Explain the food.
Well, it really is a tremendous lineup this year, Jay, and this is the third year for the Dearborn Animal Shelter's No Beast Feast. Mm-hmm. And again, as Jay referenced, it takes place next Friday, September 14th, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's each year it has grown in the number of contributing chefs and restaurateurs. And the nice thing about it is that locally, there are, of course, people recognizing not only the animal connection, as Jay mentioned very graciously earlier, but clearly that eating foods that are more plant-based can be a healthier choice for you as a human. And the nice thing is it can be darn delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, right? The No Beast Feast this year is showcasing, again, one of the wonderful chefs from the Dearborn area, Chef Bang, who has Bangkok 96 Thai Restaurant. She's presenting appetizers for the evening and some fabulous finger desserts that are outrageous. She's an amazing chef. We love her.
Do you get a chance to sample this? I'm sorry. I have to interrupt,
geez,
because I might apply for your job.
Yeah. I might have to go in and say, I'm the taste tester, please, Chef Fang. But there are opportunities sometimes, and we're going to meet with them. Well, of course, that happens. But
many of us eat regularly at Bangkok 96 on Telegraph down there.
Super.
Just one of the great gourmet Thai restaurants. We have several Thai restaurants in town, but this is just a little bit more unique and special in the way that she handles it. And she's done banquets for several people, several groups, in fact, in the community. And, of course, remember Clint Eastwood when he came here to shoot his movie, Ford Torino, in the Dearborn Heights area, he had just come from filming one of his war stories in the Pacific, and they had been eating a lot of Southeast Asian food there just because most of the crew were Southeast Asian. And he got into Thai food. And so when they discovered Bangkok 96 here in the area, they did the exclusive catering for the company while they were on location in Dearborn Heights.
Wow.
It was that good. And it is that good. It's really fine restaurant. But we have many fine restaurants in Dearborn. But if there's a usually any sort of poll that's taken about the best Thai restaurant in the Detroit area, I think that would be one. So her food will be featured, as well as some other chefs, too.
There are indeed. There are some other wonderful folks in the lineup, including our friends at In Season in Royal Oak, and that's very much a signature vegetarian restaurant that people know. Whether you're carnivorous or not, their food is outstanding.
I've eaten there, too. Is it 4th Street?
I think they're on 4th Street in Royal Oak,
exactly.
4th
Street, west of Maine.
Yep, just off of Maine.
East of Maine.
Mm-hmm. East of Maine. And they're donating an entree that evening as well, which is a pretty wonderful thing for them to do. It's right up their alley. People that know of vegetarian foods will be joining, but it's really anyone who wants to come and try delicious food. It certainly is a welcoming table. On top of that, of course, there's some other folks that are going to be in the lineup as well. And
one close to us right here. Yes.
Right close to home, our friends here at Henry Ford Community College, the culinary program is going to be donating a side dish or an entree, I do believe.
Literally, they're 20 feet to the left of us here at the studio.
Now, there's the sampling opportunity you're looking for, Dennis.
Yeah, I think so.
And, of course, and there's one other one that hopped into the fold just a day or two ago, which is, again, another name people would recognize, Se Va.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And they have been a staple vegetarian restaurant in Ann Arbor for decades, but they've recently opened a new restaurant in Detroit. And that restaurant location is going to be donating a side dish as well for No Beast Feast, and that's a new one in the loop. That just happened, and very nice that they've come on board to do that. So some signature nameplate restaurants, as well as some local restaurateurs. And, of course, our friends at Park Place are putting on their vegetarian chef's cap, and they're going to create a special dish cuisine that will be served that evening as well.
As long as they're in the same, we're in the same building, it might as well
show
off. You
bet. So, and they are, and they have many times gone out of their way to be very supportive of the Dearborn Animal Shelter and helping them with events such as this one.
And on top of all the great food that can be sampled, and certainly it's not just samples. I mean, if you want a full meal,
you can have
these are not just little teeny bites.
No, it's from appetizer, entree, salad, soup, roll, to desserts.
You can overeat yourself, which you shouldn't do, but you have a lot of choices. Maybe you want to sample a little bit before you dig in, but nonetheless, it's a great banquet that's going to be presented there. And you have a special guest. You have a speaker.
We do.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the third year. Maybe it happened before, but you actually have a person, a very famous advice columnist for Veg News, who is going to be giving a verbal presentation, a speech.
She's fabulous. This is the first year that we've had a signature speaker of this clout, and Dr. Carrie Saunders, and she's known in the circles as Dr. Food, which is kind of fun, and she lives up to that name, and she's a lot of energy. She talks about really how plant-based foods can be good for you from a nutritional perspective, and she's very learned in this arena, and she is, of course, a doctor, but she has a good sense of how to apply that food to make it taste good. And she's doing an interesting DVD. It's a cooking series that she's doing with this gentleman who's a trainer for Ellen DeGeneres. And the two of them are doing sort of a Bachelor Meets Chef cooking series. And she's going to promo that DVD, and you'll be able to purchase it that night as well, and with proceeds being donated to the shelter.
Well, that's even better then. Yeah. So, again, we're talking, folks, about the Dearborn Animal Shelter's No Beast Feast taking place a week from today on Friday, September 14th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Park Place on Park Street, of all places, in West Dearborn area. Let me just ask, in terms of the presentation by Dr. Carrie Saunders that you just mentioned, if some people are thinking, well, maybe I can eat first and go somewhere else later, what time is she expected to make her presentation?
It's going to be brief. She's probably only going to be taking up about 10 minutes, and that'll probably happen right before the meal is served. So it'll be a quick in-and-out visit.
So
she'll be there to
the meal is served,
after.
What, at 7? Or you mean right at 6?
Yeah, I think probably you'll see appetizers out beforehand for about a half an hour. People mill about 6:30. There's silent auction. There's tin can raffle. So the things to be doing while you're there.
Right.
Probably, I think they'll start the program 6:45 would be my guess, though I don't know that exactly.
Sure. Okay. Well, it sounds like a great time we had by all. It is a little pricey, but if you think about gourmet food, and we're talking about two great gourmet restaurants, Bangkok 96 In Season Cafe and the newly added Se Va, which in French means that's a go, or that's let's go, or it's going, or something like that. And so I'm sure they consider themselves gourmet too. I just haven't experienced it, but and certainly our culinary arts school and Park Place are
you bet.
Nothing to sneeze at. But the cost is $45 per person in advance, $50 per person at the door. Is that correct?
Yes.
But it includes not only all the food, but also soft drinks, beer, wine, and it says more, too.
Mm-hmm.
Free napkins?
Yes.
I always need the napkins, I know.
You need those to go. They're talking about, I think, coffee and tea and your staples as far as beverages go, but it is an inclusive ticket, and so it's pretty much an opportunity to come out and feast, enjoy some fun, and a lot of interesting folks that come. It's a really nice, casual evening. You don't have to get all dressed up. It's a nice way to come out and support the Dearborn Animal Shelter, have a terrific meal, and it's casual. Mm-hmm. It's not a high pressure event or anything. You're not expected to do anything. Just come out and enjoy a nice evening with some friends. And you can, as Jay mentioned, you can purchase the tickets online in advance from the shelter at dearbornanimals.org.
How far in advance online? Sometimes you cut it off a day or two in advance.
It'll be probably day of about 10 a.m. or noon is when
Friday.
They'll cut off ticket sales online,
because
they have to give a head count to Park Place.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the benefits go to them, even though the Dearborn Animal Shelter is a 501c3 nonprofit. I don't know if people are concerned about a tax credit or something if you're in that category. But you'd have to subtract your cost. So would they get a full credit? Do you know? Can you comment on that?
I don't know the answer to the question. They'd be able to tell you at the shelter.
Just do it for the good of doing it, folks. Okay, it's only $45 a person.
And the food.
That's
what got my attention.
And Dennis could be there the whole 4 hours.
Are you kidding? I'll be there early and stay late.
More than get 3 or 4 days fill up there.
That's right.
Okay. And, of course, so we do want to, of course, say hello to Elaine Green, who is the Friends Executive Director, and all of the volunteers there, including yourself. Sure. A lot of people, I mean, a few people like Elaine and I think one of the doctors and so on, that there's small salaries paid to some of the professionals, and that's as it should be, just like we pay a small stipend to a couple of our WHFR officers. And to me, but you know, it's nowhere near what anybody's really worth. And this operation, which took over from the city of Dearborn, now they have a contract with the city of Dearborn, and I think they give you a small stipend for that contract, but it's nothing close to what the costs really are. And it's a great model. In fact, I have to say, it was in my head when we set up the management system and the funding system for WHFR. It is the way to go if you have a noble cause. And we think we do at WHFR in Absolutely. Terms of music and information that others aren't providing. And certainly the Dearborn Animal Shelter has always had a noble cause. Then you should be able to get the volunteers. And, of course, let me just conclude by asking you about volunteering. Really, you accept almost anyone. Maybe you have to be a certain age or ability. You won't just take young kids. It might have to be supervised too much. But certainly high school students and almost anyone else can volunteer their time to help at the shelter in one way or the other, right?
Sure, absolutely. And people are always welcome to volunteer, and there are various levels of volunteering. You can certainly volunteer even just on your own home. You can be Facebooking people and sharing about the adoptable animals, but actual hands-on volunteering starts at age 14.
Okay, age 14. Because even when you have a table at the Friday
at the farmer's market.
That takes volunteers.
Sure does.
Three volunteers, usually at least two. And in fact, at Nobie's Feast, you'll probably have people taking tickets at the door and doing other organizational things. So you probably need at least 6 to 12 people. I'm just guessing at volunteers. I know we have our used record show coming up. It's our fourth annual record show on October 6th, if I can toss that plug in here. And on October 6th, we actually need more than 20 of our own staff to come and help, because there's not just tickets, but we have to work with vendors. We provide food. We have our own table for some merchandise sales. And so it does take a lot of volunteers, but there's a lot of things, great causes that need this kind of support. Sometimes I wonder if we couldn't just run the city that way, but no, we need people who are professionals and full-time. Although, remember, your council people are not full-time. and they show it sometimes, too.
Ouch.
Especially when they don't show up.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college.
Thank you. I was just about ready to say that, too.
Sidebar disclaimer.
Yes.
Right. But, Sandy, you've been helping with the promotional effort on these events for quite some time, but you do have your day job, too, and, you know, we don't want to keep you from that. We thank you for coming on and mentioning this. Anything else you wanted to mention about upcoming events at the...
Well, sure.
Just get everybody out to Nobie's Feast next Friday from 6 to 10.
Please come on Friday, and if any of you happen to be fans of any of the Bully Breed dogs, that Sunday on the 16th, we have what we call the Bully Splash Bash, and it's a really fun event. It's just come out play day. All breeds are welcome, but it's to really celebrate and honor our Bully Breed friends, and there's canine agility and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun. If you look at the shelter website.
And where is that going to be?
That's taking place at our friends at Curry Family Pet Care in Romulus.
Oh, okay.
And the shelter website has a host of things that makes it easy to kind of put all those things together. But at DearbornAnimals.org, when you click on our events, there's an event calendar, and then some of the larger events, like Nobie's Feast, are dedicated a full page. So, but there are things all the time, depending on what your interests are, whether you want to go to an event that's free, whether you want to go to a pay event, whether you want to go dine, you want to go walk your dog. There's always something you can do to engage with the shelter. So there is something just like that for everybody.
Something for everyone, which is important. If you're trying to get funding, you need support from a wide range of people. So So I will excuse the Hogs for Dogs. So,
that's a great event. The Kiernans are fabulous for hosting it. It's a really terrific evening.
Yeah, that's as much as can be donated has to be, or you can't make any money on these events. And I know we always thank the people that help us out, too, in that way. Thanks for being here. We'll continue to mention No Beast Feast on WHFR, and we highly recommend that people try to get their tickets in advance. Save $5 a person. It is $45 each, but it's $50 at the door, and that's full dinner, soft drinks, beer, wine, the presentation from Dr. Sanders, and a good time will be had by all, and make a really nice evening, something different to do, too. And we all need that distraction from weekly events, I think, at times. So thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you, Jim.
Seeing you again. Come back anytime. And we're going to listen to some comments from Jim Hightower right now on the WHFR Journal, making waves here, WHFR.fm. Listen up. This is that season. Aren't they all political seasons, really? But this is an extremely important one. Here's a couple of his comments that are not actually partisan, and that makes them even more valuable, I think. But here you go.
Not only does corporate political money shout, scream, bellow, and bay in our elections, but afterwards it quietly slips into the back rooms of power to talk softly about payback. Meet Exelon Corporation, America's largest electric utility, owner of our country's largest array of nuclear power plants, and among the largest donors to Barack Obama's political career. One Exelon board member alone has raised more than $500,000 for Obama and is tied enough with him to get into the occasional presidential basketball game. Also, Obama's top political operative, David Axelrod, has been an Exelon consultant. Overall, Chicago-based Exelon is so connected that it boasts of being, quote, the president's utility. This is a story of how corporate cash buys long-term relationships that then produce quiet access to the inner chambers of government, resulting in corporate favors. Last year, for example, the EPA was developing a new rule affecting how nuclear plants use water. Exelon executives and lobbyists got extraordinary access to top White House officials, far more meetings and at a higher level than other utilities got, and certainly more attention than environmental groups received. Then, in March 2011, just days after Exelon lobbyists met with their Oval Office buddies, the EPA official in charge of drafting the rule was called to the White House and instructed to rewrite major sections to fit Exelon's needs. Since then, Obama's Regulatory Review Office has held 8 meetings on the proposal, and Exelon was at 4 of them. Again, more than any other interest. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not the slam-bam, Jack Abramoff style of crass money corruption, but a sort of soft political pornography. But soft is not better. Whether corporate political money shouts or whispers, it still corrupts.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Happy Labor Day! And what a good day it is. For only 5 years after that ugly Wall Street collapse, the Dow Jones average has soared back above 13,000 and top executive paychecks are at zippity-doo-dah levels. The only little cloud over this otherwise sunshiny recovery is, well, you. You people for whom Labor Day is named, that is. Not only did Wall Street's crash knock jobs, wages, benefits, home ownership, and middle-class opportunities into the ditch, but they're still stuck there, and even sinking lower. Yet the financial elites, political establishment, and media powers remain rapturously focused on the Dow, uncaring about the precipitous decline in the Doug Jones average. If Doug and Donna aren't prospering, neither is America, no matter how much wealth the privileged ones are socking away in offshore tax havens. The stark status of the Doug is revealed in a recent report on laid-off workers. Of the 6.1 million Americans who lost stable jobs since 2009, when the recovery officially began, nearly half are still out of work. Also, more than half of those who did find jobs had their pay cut, whacking their standard of living. Typical of these is Andrew McMenemy, whose software firm pulled the plug on his $80,000-a-year high-tech job in 2010. He has finally found another job, but it pays under $20,000 a year with no benefits. At 53 years of age, McMenemy has had to move in with his father. This is Jim Hightower saying, knocking down the middle class is economically stupid, socially dangerous, and morally wrong. Labor Day is a good time to face up to the fact that today's corporate and political leaders are wretchedly bad gardeners. By tending to the moneyed elites and ignoring America's workaday majority, they're watering the weeds and pulling the flowers. Where in the world is that going to lead us?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Thank you, Jim Hightower, one of the great political analysts and commentators, and you can get all of his comments, as they said, at jimhightower.com. We try to not use the partisan ones, it's not that they're not good. I want you to think we're taking sides here. We are trying to give you alternative ideas and inspiration for continuing to participate in the political system. This is the election year. Remember that registration, if you're not registered to vote, you can't even choose to vote at the last second. If you just accidentally find somebody you think is worthy or some issue you want to sound off on and cast your support or make sure it doesn't pass, you can't do that unless you're registered. So register to vote. There's no cost. Just go to your city hall, your city clerk's office, wherever that is, with a couple pieces of ID that has your address, your legal address on it, and birth certificate maybe, or driver's license might be good enough, and get registered to vote. You can even start doing absentee ballots as early as, I think, mid-October, if you're not going to be around for Tuesday, November 6th for that. But they haven't even decided on those absentee ballots yet. In fact, today, I understand, and I've seen nothing. I was on the internet just before the show here. Today, September 7th, is supposed to be the deadline for the Supreme Court to finally make decisions about which proposals are legal to be on the ballot and which aren't,
right,
either for one reason or another. And Dennis is nodding his support of that. But I've seen nothing on that. There's also the issues of whether or not Libertarian Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian Party, the National United States Libertarian Party's candidate for president, they are on the ballot. But he may not be because of Michigan has got a crazy law that was passed by the Republicans last year. How many crazy laws that I can refer to by Republicans last year? No, I'm sorry. It's called the sore loser law. And because he missed taking his name off the presidential ballot here in Michigan back in February by 2 days, this is last December, his name still appeared as a Republican. And in Michigan, according to that law, which is unique in the whole United States, say yes to Michigan. Only we can get crazy in these kinds of ways. He can't so-called switch parties. Well, he'd already been denied by the Republicans themselves, for gosh sakes, entry into their massive, almost 30 debates, which they set up just for publicity for themselves, trying to counter Obama's publicity. They set up those debates for themselves, unprecedented, never been done before, that a single party would try to drag almost every Republican nominee they could find, but not the ones they didn't like, that were too different from their mainstream. You know, they even included Ron Paul as the, you might say, token libertarian, and certainly he's very much a libertarian. But the rules of the debates were such that you can't speak unless the moderator asks you a question or asks for your comment. And so he got, in an average two-hour debate, 90 seconds in each one of those debates to speak. Not equal at all,
no.
Not fair at all, but that's how the debates are set up. It's just like the so-called presidential debates are going to be coming up in a couple of weeks, maybe months or so, between Obama and Romney. And I think there'll be several of those, and then I think they're also going to do one vice presidential debate between Biden and Ryan. But guess what? Who organized those? What are the rules? It was all decided by Dems and Republicans. Why do you think there's no Libertarian who's going to be on Libertarian parties on the ballot in all 50 states? Why do you think there's no Green Party candidate who's going to be Dr. Jill Stein, who's going to be on the ballot at least in 38 states and could technically also win the presidency, even not being on those extra 12? Why aren't they included? They include all the third and even if you call it fourth party candidates in Canada for their national debates, give them all equal time to respond. It's actually three or four nights in a row for 3 hours each. And they had to stand all the way through that. There's no commercials.
Right.
So, I mean, seriously, it just goes straight through. I mean, that's democracy, folks. And why aren't our presidential debates, why don't they include people that are legally able to be elected president because they're on enough ballots in the U.S. to do that? Because those debates are decided on. Who gets in is decided on by the Dems and the Republicans. They voted that in Congress. To set up that commission that only includes themselves. And they get to choose what the criteria is. And they say now, well, you have to have like 15% of six different polls, you know, support across the U.S. before we're going to include you. Well, if nobody ever hears of you, you know, I think the Libertarian Party should have pulled 30, 40 candidates out and started debates themselves, among themselves, 2 years ago. Same with the Green Party. But guess what? The media wouldn't have covered them because the media is always the lamestream media, as Sarah Palin calls them. I call them lame for another reason than she does. They're always not including people. Well, there's no interest in them. Guess what? There's no interest in them because nobody knows of them. A very close person that I know, and I won't mention any names here, although I often do. What the heck? My daughter. I said, you know, Dr. Jill Stein, a woman, is running for president. Maybe you want to consider her. Said, well, if I find out anything about what she stands for. And then I talked to a close colleague here at the station, too, who is getting her doctorate right now at Wayne State. And I said, it's a woman, you know, and that's kind of a first, you know, not a first, but it's certainly unique that there's still a woman running for president in some party. And she said the same thing. Well, I'll have to look into what she stands for.
But that's the beginning of it.
That's because the media hasn't told you what they stand for. They're on the ballot in Michigan, Libertarian Party, of course, because of this sore loser law, which should also be decided today by the Supreme Court of Michigan, decide whether or not that's really legal to do. Is it really constitutional? Or was, at least in this case, he missed by 2 days. He clearly left the Republican Party way before the primary. You know, 2 months before. In fact, they sort of kicked him out since they wouldn't let him be in these other debates anyway. And so he just missed that deadline by 2 days. So he really wasn't a Republican anymore, even though the primary took place in February and his name was there. You know, and he's been campaigning solidly as for the Libertarian candidacy, which he finally won since early last December. So maybe they will decide that, you know, it was close enough. He clearly was not a Republican, even though his name was still on the ballot. And he did make an effort that was pretty darn close. You remember the Michigan Supreme Court surprised me, and they said that one of these multitude of ballot proposals, which was in the wrong font size.
That's right.
How tall the letters are. If it's not the right size, even though you got 600,000 signatures, we got to kick it out. Well, at least... and this doesn't happen much, but they got rational on that when they said, well, close enough.
Really?
I mean, a lot of people said, we want to add support to get this on the ballot. And for the sake of font size, they shouldn't be denying it. I mean, certainly the font should be, I understand this, and maybe that was the reason for the rule being written. If the font's not large enough, when you circulate the petition around, then people can't easily read what it's about. And if they can't easily read it, they might sign it just on word of mouth that the petitioner is telling them what's it about. So I think that certainly the size of the font makes a difference, and because it should be much more readable and therefore also more understandable what they're signing on to at the beginning. But after you get 600,000, that's an extra 200,000 more than needed of people signing in. The odds of the misunderstanding because the font was too little smidgen smaller. At least that one, I can't remember which one, but that's going to be there. Now, they've already decided up through yesterday four, although I mentioned last Friday in Wayne County here, we have six more proposals, thank you, Wayne County Commission, that's going to change their charter. So it wasn't petitions filled out. The commission themselves said, we think the charter should be changed in these six different ways. What do you think? Well, you know, I've I've just even got the titles in front of me without the details, and the details would take 20, 30 pages for me to print out and bring in. But we'll try to talk about them a little bit. Some of them seem by their title to be worthy.
You know, it's interesting. You were talking about how a lot of the, if somebody's on a ballot, it's based on winning a poll, not winning a poll, but being recognized. X percent of people, it's name recognition. That's the bottom line I'm getting at.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
all. And,
then, yeah.
and name recognition is based on repetition. My question to you, and I'm looking at this wonderful thing that you printed out for me based on some of the candidates that are running for president. How would you limit, because Canada limits it to, I don't think they do it intentionally, but they have three or four of the parties that are potential candidates. How would you do that? I mean, you do have to draw the line. We've looked through this, and there's how many? I mean, there's different
parties. I
don't
think you have to draw the line at all.
You really think that anybody that wants
yeah,
to?
In fact, in Michigan, in fact, even this year in Michigan, I bet we will have six or seven parties that actually are on the ballot with a presidential candidate. Now, the again, the issue is, are they on enough state ballots to, if a lot of people voted for them, to actually win in the Electoral College? Because remember, it's not a matter of
popular
vote. It's a matter of, if you're not on enough states, then you won't have electors from that state.
Right.
At all. You can't. If you're not on the ballot in that state, you won't have any electors appointed for you. And, of course, that's a bad part of our situation, too. Electors, after appointed by some party, they can vote for whoever they want to.
Right.
There is no legal edict that says that, you know, 2% voted Green Party, so you have to be the Green Party person. In fact, some states say winner takes all.
Right.
So if the Democrats get 1% more, they get all the electoral votes. Well, that's just, and yet some states do it that way and some don't. Oh, states' rights, wonderful. But, you know, the whole Electoral College thing is just crazy. If it's a democracy, I mean, we saw fit a few years ago to directly elect by popular vote our senators, two senators from each state. The original, our original U.S. Constitution doesn't do it that way, okay? And so why have we been waiting so long to change this? It should be direct popular election. Every vote should count equally, every person in every state. And it doesn't. You know, for the states that are proportional, well, if 20% of the vote goes to, let's say, Green Party, then they would have that going into the Electoral College, one would think. But for the state that does winner take all, then everybody that voted Green gets no representation in the Electoral College at all. So just because the states do it differently, your vote may not mean a single thing when it comes time to actually choosing the president in the so-called Electoral College. And that is, a lot of people don't even know about that, but it is in our Constitution, and it doesn't make any sense to me. It's just that our founding fathers, the majority of the Constitutional Convention at the time, they didn't trust the people. There wasn't universal education. There's some doubt that we have it today, even in terms of the high rate of dropouts from high schools. The illiteracy rate is so high compared to other countries in the so-called civilized Western world. But okay, but we have a lot more people educated. Then they had a lot of people that weren't, and they were afraid that uneducated people could be easily swayed. And so they made sure at that time that the president wouldn't really be directly elected. And if the people really were voting in some sort of crazy way because they got, I don't know, free liquor or something given to them at the ballot, outside the ballot places, that the Electoral College could just not do the will of the people. They could just reverse it and vote for what they thought was the good, sane, solid candidate. We should be past that now. There's almost no voter fraud at all, despite what the Republicans are trying to imply. And we need to count each vote equally in every state. And yes, there's a lot of people who are going to be running for president on this ballot. I'm not sure all of them have much of a chance if they're not on every state's ballot.
Absolutely.
Or at least 38, as the Green Party is.
Right.
I know the Green Party is the second, third party after Libertarians, who are actually going to be on, they expect, all 50 states. Although there's a concerted effort by the Republican Party in, and I just read this email 2 days ago, Governor Johnson, again, the presidential candidate for Libertarians, his people sent out this email. They're fighting Republican lawyers, Republican-sponsored lawyers in Virginia right now to get on the ballot and to stay on the ballot. They thought they were on the ballot, but it's not the sore loser law. They're using other tactics now, and this is happening in four other states in the U.S., and it's the Republicans that don't want a libertarian choice on the ballot. And so they're doing what's legal, maybe, but not fair, in my opinion, not necessarily those of that of Henry Ford Community College, not fair at all to try to get Governor Johnson off the ballot in the states where they're already qualified, but they're finding technicalities because they know that Ron Paul, their in-party libertarian, had a lot of support, and they're kind of afraid since they wouldn't even let Ron Paul speak at their convention. Oh, they did a tribute video. Yeah, but they wouldn't let him speak because they were afraid of what he'd say. You know, he hasn't even officially endorsed Romney for president yet. Okay, his son Rand Paul has, but he hopes to run for president someday himself. So, I mean, it's his first term, but he's already saying, oh, I'd like to run for president. Okay, Rand, maybe sometime. But so, you know, if you want the whole party to be behind you, you got to endorse whoever the candidate is, no matter how much you disagree with them. And Ron Paul, good for him, standing by his principles as he always has, he's not going to endorse Romney. So, no, he's not coming out and saying, Governor, you should vote for Governor Johnson, the Libertarian Party. He hasn't gone that far. But, you know, a lot of Governor Johnson's making that appeal himself, you know.
Didn't Ron Paul give a heads up that he wasn't going to say what they wanted him to say? And
yes.
Ahead of time.
Absolutely. He wouldn't let them tell him what to say or let them edit his speech that he wanted to
say. Good for him. Good.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, you've got to have some principles around here. Whether you agree with Ron Paul or not is not the issue. It's just the fairness of treatment. And I criticize the Republican Party for going after these little picayune things, just like in several states they're going after the voter rights acts and citizenship or other tests before you can vote. Why? Why do they do this 2 months before an election? Because the people that will get disenfranchised, not because they're illegals or anything, the people who get confused and maybe not vote because of all this extra rigmarole are generally the poor people, the middle class, not the rich. They have their ways of voting early and often. I'm sorry, not necessarily often, but they have their ways of making sure that their vote's going to be in there and that their candidates are going to get their large campaign contributions to make sure their name is proclaimed over our airwaves a lot. You know, WHFR, we can't take campaign ads.
No.
We could be totally funded for 4 years if we did.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we get out to a lot of people, but I don't want that. I didn't want it when I applied for the license back in 79 for the station. They had the status of non-commercial. I thought, non-commercial, what a concept.
Right.
You know, we don't have to be beholden to anyone except the people that allow us to be housed here at Henry Ford Community College. So, you know, these things are going on, folks, and you say, well, it's kind of legal. It's just the lawyers, just the courts. Yeah, but a lot of these judges, you know, they're nonpartisan technically, but in fact, where does the money for their campaigns come from? Either the Democrats or the Republicans.
Sure.
So they can't necessarily be making decisions that are against the parties that supported them, or guess what? They won't get that money for their next campaign. And
that entire process leaves the voters out of the loop because it's right. being decided on a level that they have little to no access.
Yeah. Well, let's get into why don't you make this comment here. Dennis brought in from MLive, MLive.com, a good daily news source. All of this story is actually from the Associated Press about they're trying to get reimbursement from Thad McCotter for the cost of the special primary.
Well, we had the special primary, and there was a winner, yeah. and it mm-hmm. was the gentleman was a former high school teacher, Kerry Bentivoglio. And yeah, he defeated four other Southeastern Michigan Republicans for the 11th Congressional District.
It was gerrymandered, and McCotter was Republican, so the odds were Republicans could win. Remember that I said, and this is the total fact, if it wasn't four Republicans, if it was only one Republican, Benevito or whatever. Obviously, yeah, he had the biggest name recognition, or he won because of other apparati there. The odds were Republican was going to win, and if only one Republican would have been in that, there wouldn't have been the cost.
No, this was only for the Republicans, and then he would.
Right, but I'm saying they wouldn't even have had the special election.
That was your whole point.
They would
have
gone until November with the one Democrat and maybe Benevito or whatever.
Right.
And being a Republican district, Republican Party had nothing to worry about. It was already gerrymandered to have a majority of Republicans living there. So why did they let, I know you can't, as I said last week, I know you can't let anybody not get their name on the ballot if they have their little petition, even,
right.
You know, even if it is a Republican slot. But in a way, it's all those Republicans that ran against each other that actually forced this special election.
That's right.
Thad McCotter, okay, he missed his deadline by 2 days, or it wouldn't have happened either. And so I think he's somewhat responsible. So who's taking it to the court?
Well, here's the thing. Bentivoglio is his name. He's going to face the Democrat, Belleville Democrat union activist David Kersen. But Oakland County is. Oakland County says that they are, on Thursday, they plan to bill the state for $200,000.
Their costs
in special primary, because of the special primary that was held. The clerk and register of deeds, Bill Bullard, said the county wants its money back and he's going to seek reimbursement from the state. He sent him a detailed bill, and he's giving him 90 days to do this.
Right.
What are the chances? I mean, between you and me, this could be held up in court. If it looks like they may get the money, the state could hold it up in court. And if I'm not mistaken, this whole thing started when Snyder called for the special primary.
He did call for the special primary. He didn't want to, though.
No.
And it was even people like Jack Lessenberry, Metro Times, of course, what does he know? It said, do we really have to have it?
Wasn't that what the governor said?
Do we really have to have this? I mean, yes, I know it's the law, but it's 650. It's almost two-thirds of $1 million, folks.
Yep.
No, we didn't need it. No, it could have all been done in November, but that meant that there could only be one Democrat and one Republican.
Well, my big thing was that the 11th district covers more than just parts of Oakland County. In fact, it's only a section of Southwestern.
Right, but if Oakland County, who's probably got the legal expertise or the extra people that they can push this to the state, if they win, then the other people will jump on.
Absolutely.
It set a precedent for returning the cost to like Dearborn Heights and whoever else had to be part of it.
Well, Bullard, the clerk said that, the county clerk said it would cost them $18 per ballot. So do the math on however many people were in that portion of the district.
And, of course, this is the crazy part. This is another reason the governor, I think, maybe could have just gone taken it on the chin if he needed to, saying, look, almost nobody's going to vote anyway. It was only 7% of the registered voters that actually did vote in that. Because it was I heard September 5th. Was it the 5th?
Yes.
That's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Aren't elections usually on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Always on Tuesday? But this one was actually Wednesday. I said,
did Labor Day throw everything off, maybe? Because it was Monday?
People aren't back yet?
Maybe. Garbage pickup gets pushed up a day. Maybe voting does too.
No wonder people got... A couple weeks ago, I know I said that special election will be Tuesday, September 5th, because I didn't check the date and on the calendar.
Right.
And so even I got it wrong. So no wonder... they had only 7% turnout there.
Fewer than 30,000. I did the math here. Yeah, well under 30,000. But I know when I went into work, and I work at the Berwyn Center on Wednesdays, and there was, you know, the polling was set up specifically for, or voting was set up for for people, but nobody was there.
We're going to move to the big story, and it'd be interesting to see if it's in the Press and Guide this Sunday. The Press and Guide, their publisher, the ones that own them, is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They are the bigger subscribed paper and bigger circulated paper in Dearborn, larger than the Dearborn Times-Herald. And, of course, bankruptcy proceedings doesn't mean that they will either be sold or even go out of business. Bankruptcy can, with the help from a judge, can provide paying off debts, usually couple pennies on the dollar to your creditors,
right.
And then you just go on like business as usual, sometimes under supervision or an auditor appointed by the judge. But it seems that the story here, as I'm reading the Patch.com release from yesterday, 9/6, their company, JRC Publications, is $160 million in debt. Now, of course, they own newspapers and other things in several states. And in fact, they were more in debt back at the end of 2009. There were $225 million in debt. Okay, so actually they're coming out of debt nicely.
Well, by making cuts. They've cut everything.
And right, they've cut reporters and
everything.
If you notice, the Press and Guide and even the Times Herald, they're resorting to crime news on the first two or three pages. I've never seen so much crime news in Dearborn papers. Oh, there's always crime. Yeah, although it's less than ever, less than in the any time in the last 20 years.
Not according to my paper. No, I'm just kidding. No, well, that's your point, though.
Well, there was always a crime blotter, but what they're doing now is getting all the information, somebody just getting it directly from the local police departments, and they're just writing them up as if they were stories that they researched and that they're reporting on, which they're not because they don't have the staff for that anymore. And, of course, everybody loves sensational crime. That's how all the local TV news channels keep you watching. Local crime, even though there's less crime than ever before in the last 20 years, but they make it sound like, oh, it's an epidemic always. And, of course, on TV, you always get the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like a big flaming fire to have people watching,
sure.
Or earthquakes or flooding or cracks in the street or, you know, people lying in the street bloody after a car accident. Blood and gore, if it bleeds, it leads.
Absolutely.
As I said years ago, and there's just not that much anymore. But let's put it on the front page of the Press and Guide and Times Herald, because that's what people really want to read, even though it gives them a totally false view of the world. So shame on the Press and Guide and Times Herald for not having enough reporters to actually do the reporting that... It's embarrassing. It must be embarrassing to them that DearbornPatch.com is doing so good, you know?
Look at the model, though. It's a little different, isn't it? Patch.com is only
they don't have
online.
The overhead cost of the paper and the print and the circulation.
And in fairness to the Press and Guide, I don't believe, other than Jessica Carreras and a handful of people, they don't have full-time staff either.
No.
They have mostly freelancers, and we know a few of them, you know. So,
But they do good, solid stories. They're not... They're super long, but they would certainly be equal to, if not longer, than the average story in the Times Herald or Press and Guide. Although your story, Dennis, since you're on, got to say who you're being paid by here. Dennis is now a contract reporter, part-time though, but contract reporter, freelancing with the Press and Guide. And his story is on page 14A of last Wednesday's Press and Guide. That is all about the Dearborn Heights events. Of course, he was here last Friday telling us about those and like the new consul seat with Joe Kaczynski.
Sure.
Actually being returned to the consul. So we don't have to go over that, but the details are in Dennis's story on 14A. And thank you, Press and Guide, for hiring somebody who's a big-time responsible person and really knows what he's talking about as well as being a good writer. But guess what? You need more of those folks, and you need people at these events, and you need smart people at these events, too. And you just don't have enough reporters. I mean, you know it. So what did JRC decide to do? What did your management decide to do? Well, instead of reporters, we'll put all our money into online developing a web presence. And why is it I don't go to pressandguide.com regularly? Because it's just not as good as patch.com.
Right.
I it's not even the full paper that's in there. Am I wrong about that?
Well,
now, you know, don't comment.
Well, I was going to say,
I don't want to get you fired.
No, but the model's different. And I think that what I have noticed with the Press and Guide much more, you know, the emphasis more recently is on the multimedia. So we have the print version, but as Patch does, they want more photos. They want video if you can get it, audio for sure, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they put that right on the website. Obviously, you can't do something like that in the paper. But is it enough is my question.
Yeah. What I want the papers to do is what the papers used to do many years ago, and that was in-depth reporting. Longer stories on issues that matter. Crime. Okay, every now and then there might be a big crime story. Really, every now and then, not every week. And in fact, some of these are just updates. Oh, somebody's going to come before a judge this week. Big deal. The crime is already over. I mean, it's going to come before a judge. Okay, that's nice to know, I guess, somewhere in the back of your head. It doesn't really matter. The judge will take care of it from now on. Yeah, the outcome of the trial we might want to know eventually. But, so to me, yeah, I would pay even more money for a local paper that had people reporting and giving opinions and analysis in a professional way every week. doesn't have to be twice a week or even daily. I'll leave the daily stuff to either mlive.com for Detroit or patch.com. They do the daily stuff fine. But they're still not doing that in-depth reporting that can be done by only full-time reporters who are smart and who can write well. And certainly you say, well, isn't there a news and a free press? They're in the same sort of problem. They're putting, I think people who are not even competent as writers. Most of them don't even ever spell check, folks. Do you know English grammar? And the stories are brief and they're fluff and they're sensational. So I used to subscribe and read the Detroit Free Press all the time. That was 30 years ago, though. The papers have changed. They think, oh, well, people don't want that. They want the fluff. They want to go online. Yeah, for some things, but not for everything. I hope somebody realizes there's really a place for in-depth local quality journalism. And so does Dennis, too. So,
yeah.
And well, we have other stories, but they're mostly quickies here. So we only have a couple minutes before big band music. Big band music, that was over between 10 and 1. Before blues. Yeah, all the best on the blues with Joanne Kurczynska on Highway 61 from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. Okay. Native American Heritage Day. You want to have something to do tomorrow? It's up in Hines Park. I guess all along Outer Drive somewhere? Is that where Hines Park is, or is that around Telegraph?
Hines. Hines goes all the way from Ford Road, just east of Southfield, just west of Evergreen.
It's on Hines Park driveway. It's off Ford Road, goes north.
It goes all the way to Livonia, maybe Northville.
There's probably one area or more that...
You never went sledding or tobogganing there when you were...
Every time I want to drive on it, it's flooded, and they close it, so... just bad luck, I guess. Native American Heritage Day, and that so it's going to be outside, and you know, it's I think you should go and celebrate the fact that they're still around because we, absolutely. You know, we, and I'm speaking for the white race, since I am one, have a real burden on our shoulders about how we came to this country and took away their land and treated them very badly on top of it. Anyway, Native American Heritage Day, let's keep their heritage, all of our heritages alive for that matter, tomorrow in Hines Park. I don't know the times on that. U.S. longest running car show, that's a way to promote it, is going to be tomorrow, September 8th and 9th at the Henry Ford, probably outdoors at Greenfield Village, literally. For those that don't know what the Henry Ford is, it's a combination of all their different opportunities and activities over there, the Henry Ford Museum, the Rouge Plant Tours, and, of course, Greenfield Village and other special events. So, but it's better known to all of us who have lived here for a while, the old Car Fest. You know, the most fantastic, huge assortment of automobiles from the beginning. You'll see every era represented and usually the really top-notch quality, and it could take you hours to walk through the fields at Greenfield Village to see all of these fantastic cars. And just a great day out with the family at September 8th and 9th at the Henry Ford, a nonprofit institution. And
can I bring this up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is the Elder Fest, and I'm used to that. We, you know, we're setting up our things at Ford Field for homecoming each year, setting up the WHFR tent. Usually,
it's like the parade. And we usually bring some people in to talk about it.
And they've completely changed it, and now it's a standalone event. It'll be September 14th, which is a week from today, and it will be at Ford Field, at the North Shelter of Ford Field Park on Cherry Hill. Pretty cool. Included items are free breakfast, bottled water, hot dogs, soft pretzels, soft drinks, and ice cream. Hopefully not all at the same time.
And a lot of politicians that want your vote, too, because they're sponsoring the free ice cream.
Absolutely.
It's 10 o'clock, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. to 3.
At the Ford Field Park, here in West Dearborn. And I'm not sure they're checking IDs at the door to see if you're a certain age.
I was going to ask that. Do you know how they do that if you look old enough?
But maybe you better take an ID with you. You never know with Dearborn.
Yeah.
They might get
at my age, I'm leaving my ID at home.
Yeah.
But no, like you said, the